As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
We promised you. We are checking in at Indiana University. It's our great friend Jeremy Gray. A little summer break activity, but no. The university, the athletics world, and everything else, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just like everything else. Happy summertime to you, my friend.
Well, happy summertime to you. Now, I wish it was about 5 degrees cooler.
Yes.
At least, as it's been pretty stifling of late. But, you know, summertime is a chance to, you know, regroup, go on a little vacation, get geared up for the season, and get geared up for new gear.
And that's a good point and a great point of entry as well. And I mentioned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because in the last, 10, 12 years or so, there is no off season. It doesn't matter what sport it is. The university doesn't have an off season anymore. It seems like every week there are kids here going through orientation, getting ready. There seems like there's a Hall of Fame class or an award or a preseason magazine. It just never stops anymore. I wish it would. We could just hit pause on it. But if we're not, let's talk about some really cool stuff, shall we? And it's merchandising. We know Indiana has a humongous fan base, a humongous alumni base, Jeremy. And there were some rumblings over the last couple of years that there just wasn't enough stuff where everybody could get their hands on it. What led to this new transformation? Who's your new partner, and why should we be excited with merch moving forward?
So the new partner, I'll learn to speak eventually. The new partner is Legends Global Merchandise. We shorthand it as Legends. It's now called the IU Team Store instead of the Varsity Shop. And yeah, it's under new management as of about 5 days ago. So we're really, really excited about it. They are the absolute leader in this space. They have a best-in-class shopping experience. They really have a great relationship with Adidas. And yes, over the last couple of years, I've gotten it on Twitter. We've gotten calls. We've heard people say, this isn't available. We can't get a women's basketball T-shirt. There are a variety of complaints that have been issued. And we had a really good relationship with Barnes & Noble for a number of years. These things are on contract for a service term. Barnes & Noble was kind of getting out of this line of business. And, you know, probably like me, when I'm 64 and 9 months, I probably won't be the greatest employee of all time, my final month working at a place. I think it's safe to say when they knew that they weren't going to be re-upped for the new contract that, you know, maybe some of the inventory, the ordering wasn't as strong as our fans would like. Some of it also was pandemic related with shipping and manufacturing issues across the country too, to be fair. But we're really, really excited to partner with Legends. You know, this is inside baseball for people listening, but we had, I would say, in the last month and a half leading into the unveil, with their marketing team as well as the people high up in corporate, we had a series of meetings, probably 5 or 6 meetings, about how we were going to unveil this. What are we going to do? How are we going to order more stuff? What are we going to do about jerseys in the season? They're taking a very proactive approach. We're really, really excited about it. The team store is being renovated as it stands right now, the one that's on the west side of Simon Scott Assembly Hall. But the shop on iuhoosiers.com is already up. They're going to continue to get more and more inventory now that they're allowed to. So it's going to be better tomorrow than it is today. And today it's already better than it was yesterday. So we're really excited about it.
Now, how does this tie into there was something, and again, if I'm hallucinating, please stop me. Earlier this summer about name, image, and likeness, where, if you wanted to, a field hockey jersey with somebody's name and number on it, that's now possible to do. Does this all tie in together with that, and does it go back to the kids, or am I talking about two different things here?
So, kind of similar, but different. So there's another group called Campus Inc.
That's what I'm, there that, we go.
Yes. So Campus Inc., and you've probably seen it, you know, with your own little kid. They might have a Miles Turner Pacers T-shirt that says Turner on the back, sure, and Pacers on the front. Oh, my Jersey. God, it looks like a jersey. Yeah, a jersey. So they're kind of in that business, and they also do customized shirts, you know, like they could have customized designs on them for the athletes themselves. And I can tell you this, and, you know, most of your listeners won't care about this, but we've had relatives, you know, of athletes saying, what can we do? You know, my son's on the baseball team. I want a jersey of theirs to be able to wear to games. This provides that opportunity. Also, you know, if your kid has a favorite player, they can go get, you know, get the shirt that's a jersey of all of this. And a rather substantial cut goes to the student athlete themselves. So they're in, you know, but the student athlete has to actually sign up with Campus Inc. to get that royalty deal. But a fairly sizable chunk goes directly to the student athlete. So when people talk about name, image, and likeness, this might be the purest form of it. It's a T-shirt with their name on it and their likeness on it, and they get money for it.
Yeah, I think that's what we all thought this was going to be kind of from the beginning. Yeah. Well, at least the pie in the sky angle would be, hey, look, if Chris Webber and Jalen Rose are selling 50 million jerseys with their name on it at Michigan, they should get a cut of it. I think that's where this all started, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is what it will provide. And, you know, it'll be great. And I say this, like you, as a consumer of these types of things, I've got a fifth grader who's very into sports, and, you know, he runs into Jalen Hood-Schifino in the hallway. Jalen Hood-Schifino says hi, and Jonah's like, he's my favorite player, so we got to go get his jersey.
And now we can.
Now we can. So it's a great thing.
It's excellent. Jeremy Gray is our guest this afternoon. We're talking apparel. We're talking licensing. We're talking marketing. All the fun stuff. There's two things that I get stopped when I'm anywhere. Once you've got an IU hat on, or anybody wants to talk, is, you know, where do I get the candy stripe pants, and where are the soccer jerseys? Now, I'm hoping all of that is solved now.
Yeah. So the candy stripe pants were available for a long time. That one was actually kind of a manufacturing issue with factories overseas and all that kind of stuff. That should be coming back in droves, I would assume. Yeah, because here are the ones that I've always heard. So why don't they sell soccer jerseys?
Yep.
The baseball jerseys.
Yep.
And if there's something particularly stylish on the sideline worn by a coach, why don't you sell that particular thing?
Quarter zip, short sleeve. That's the
one. Yes. There was even like the Kane Womack powder blue defensive coordinator that everybody wanted to buy.
From the 1950s or something, correct?
For sure. I do think we're going to have more jersey options. One of the things, to be able to sell it at scale, it requires a lot of people to be willing to buy these things. And there's kind of a mixed record on that at different places and even here over time. But my guess is you're going to have much better options from Adidas going forward.
Excellent. And your partnership with Adidas, I don't want to say is infinite, but it's a pretty strong one. True?
It is. Yeah. I mean, it goes back a long way. We're still midway through our contract, and they've been a great partner to us. And I think people will be heartened with their ability to buy jerseys this fall, I guess is all I'm saying without, you know, blowing it, I guess.
Yeah. And again, giving people what they want is one thing, but as you learn in the merchandising and apparel world, if you have all these jerseys lying around and no one's buying them, well, somebody's paying for them, and it's just a whole thing. So it's not as easy as just people think that you've got a whole warehouse full of this stuff and you're just not releasing it for some reason. That's not the case.
Yeah, that's not the case. And also, like, if there's a particular jersey, and we heard this with baseball a long time ago, about 10 years ago, like, and we sold the jerseys and they sold fewer than people would have expected, because actually really nice authentic jerseys cost a lot of money. Like,
yes.
Jerseys are fairly cheap, but if you go into, you know, you can walk into a Lids right now and look at an authentic NBA jersey, and it's going to cost you over $100. So sometimes the price point kind of scares off consumers as well. But we are now seven lanes over from my area of expertise.
but you, since you have consumers and children, you are an expert in this, just like the rest of us who have kids as well. And when you go to the game, a jersey is a little bit easier to handle than to going in and getting the exact replica jersey. You've been to a major league park. That's pretty steep already. It's like the jersey's just fine. We'll come back and get the rest down the end. So this grows here locally. It's no longer the Varsity Shop. It's called the IU Team Store. but the same locations. You're going to stay in Assembly Hall where you're at in Kirkwood in Indiana, so everybody knows where to go. It's just going to have some different stuff in it.
It's going to have different stuff, and they just frankly they think it's a more marketable name, and I kind of agree.
Yeah, the team store, because I didn't graduate, so I'm not a varsity. Well, I didn't play varsity, right. I have money to spend. How long did this process take to find Legends Global Merchandise? Did you guys have connections already there, or did you put this up for bid?
No, whenever a contract like this comes to a close, they open it up for bid, and different vendors go through the RFP process, and they were the best one.
Excellent, and hopefully we pass that along to all the fans as well, because there's one thing that can't be denied. Hoosier fans, they love their merchandise. They love their red and white. They love their candy stripes. And what's the newest candy stripe that I thought I saw? The water polo robes are probably an all-timer. I don't know. I wouldn't make those just out of principle. That's just that's just a fantastic look.
It is a great look. It is a great look. And yeah, the water polo swimming diving robes are pretty strong. The best part about it, too, is you go to the Big Ten Championships, and our swimmers and divers win all the time, so they're just on the podium constantly, and it's a great look.
It's like a fashion show, Erica. Now on the catwalk from Indiana.
This is what it looks like with a bronze medal. This is what it looks like with a silver medal.
Oh my gosh.
This is how they enjoy the eyes with a gold medal.
And it's true. That's what makes it great to talk about. And as we learned today as well, Brendan Burns and Taryn Gillian were named the IU Athletes of the Year. Well, swimming and diving, taking center stage. I know that is your area of expertise. Brag on your kids here for a minute. They were fantastic.
Yeah, I'm proud sport administrator of the swim and dive program. And Brendan Burns, we'll start with him. He swam in 5 races in the Big Ten Championships. And he won all 5. So can't do any better than that. And was named Big Ten Swimmer of the Year, Big Ten Swimmer of the Championships, and, frankly, just dominated the affairs in an IU team victory. So he carried the team to victory along with the help of a remarkable set of, other athletes on that team. Then he goes to the NCAA Championships, and he finishes 2nd in several events. He wins the 200 fly, first IU swimmer since 1973 to win the 200 fly national championship. So he's a national champion, silver medalist in several events, didn't lose a single race in the Big Ten Championships. And, guys, he's coming back next year. So Brendan Burns, a remarkable
very
athlete.
Very Spitzian of him.
Yes, and then we go to Taryn Gilliland, and she's a she's a very interesting story. So last year she was basically injured the entirety of the year, qualifies with in the zone meet to go to NCAAs, and without really competing or practicing much the entire year, wins the platform NCAA championship. Comes back this year, dominates the Big Ten championships, and then wins yet again another platform NCAA title, and she was a finalist in the other two disciplines in diving, the 1 meter and the 3 meter springboard. So she's been here for 2 years. She's a platform diver, and she's won 2 gold medals at the NCAA championships. And I've said this to Drew Johansson, we could fly her over the ocean in a helicopter. I could grab her by the ankles, throw her out of the helicopter going 100 miles an hour, and she'd find a way to land right. She's like a way to die. I mean, it just lands the same way every single time. Just a remarkable athlete, and the best is yet to come. And I think as we gear up for Paris 2024, I would be stunned if Taryn and Brendan Burns are not representing the United States in the Olympics. So very proud of them, our athletes of the year. I mean, there are some other remarkable performances ranging from Andrew Capobianco, a fellow diver, to Grace Berger in women's basketball. There's some great, great athletes. But, Brendan Burns didn't lose a race and won a gold. And, Taryn wins yet another national title. So there are athletes of the year.
What is the streak of Olympic games consecutively that Indiana has participated in, the summer games? Is it from forever? Have we never missed one?
I think it's 32 since 1932. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I know it wasn't 84. No. This goes back a very, very long way. So that is exciting.
We even competed in 1980 when the U.S. boycotted it. We had swimmers representing other countries.
Other countries.
So,
Oh, that's fantastic. the from sea to shining, well, from coast to coast. No, from globally. That's the that's the angle. Jeremy Gray is our guest this afternoon. And I can't ever let you come on the air and we don't take if there's a major tennis tournament happening at the time or just in general. The championship's Wimbledon. Have you been hooked in or have you been too busy chasing your kids and family around?
I've been watching when I can. The best part about Wimbledon is they replay it at night. And, I've been following it along. It feels like we are in for one more round of those two guys going against each other. I mean, Nick Kyrgios is playing really well, and he's had Nadal's number to a certain extent. But you get Nadal and Djokovic, and frankly, if Nadal wins this one, it kind of permanently settles the debate. It really does. That puts them three ahead and, tied head-to-head, way ahead and beating him in major finals, kind of putting Federer clearly at the third, which hurts my heart to say it because he played so well. But if Djokovic wins, it goes 22-21, and they they head into the hard court season, and then who knows what happens in Australia next year, and it's still kind of an open debate. So feels like a lot of historical stakes at Wimbledon right now.
Well, and before that happens, two very interesting semifinals will take place as Novak Djokovic will play Great Britain's Cam Norrie. Do I have that right?
Yeah, and he's left-handed and he's British. And left-handed
That's
is cheating. That's
right. Ask Nadal, right?
Yeah. Nadal, McEnroe, yep. Connors, it's a huge advantage in that sport. And then, a home crowd rooting against Novak Djokovic could be tough, but Djokovic, I think, will find a way to pull through.
Well, he's always Djokovic is used to being. They never cheer for him at Wimbledon.
They don't. And then the other one, you've got a guy who's as talented as Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic, and Nick Kyrgios doesn't exactly try the hardest, but he's got a mercurial personality. He veers from entertaining to embarrassing, but he's also now facing some criminal charges in his home country, competing in the Grand Slam semifinal against Rafael Nadal, who's 36, expecting a kid, and going for his 23rd Grand Slam championship. So a lot of interest, and Kyrgios and Nadal haven't exactly gotten along well. expect fireworks there.
When they were interviewing Nadal on center court after his quarterfinal victory, the gentleman says, it's Kyrgios and Nadal, and the crowd goes, ooh, like they're going to fight or something's going to happen. But Kyrgios has never been this deep. It's his first semifinal, and your prize is getting Nadal. If Nadal's not healthy, Kyrgios wasn't healthy either. He played great today, straight sets, but he had a four-setter against Nakajima. Oh, I can't remember. And he had shoulder problems as well, so Kyrgios on grass, but it's Nadal. So Nadal and Djokovic in the final. That'll be an all-timer on Sunday morning if we get to that far. So, how's your ground stroke game going? You hitting on the clay? I see a little on the clay.
I don't get out too much. I once said before I had kids, I'll never look like my father. I'll work out every day. I'll stay in great shape, and all this kind of. And I look exactly like my father, who's a handsome man, by the way.
But gorgeous, like, yeah.
But I'm definitely in dad mode.
Well, and you're busy as well. UCLA, USC coming to the Big Ten. I don't want to get too deep into this because we have all the rest of the summer to get into it. Did that come as much of a surprise to your conference as it did to the rest of the of America, or was this something that everyone thought was brewing because of their TV deal and that thing expiring at the end of the month of June?
Well, I can't speak for the president or Scott, but it definitely came as a surprise to me. Like, we found out, 12, 13 hours in advance to get ready for what the reaction would be. But really excited about it, for a variety of reasons. One, I mean, the obvious, stability, financial stability. What it means for the Big Ten going forward, I think, is really, really positive. Also, I mean, it'll be kind of fun to go out to Los Angeles, and see USC and play UCLA. I think UCLA in particular has got a lot of teams and sports where there'll be a natural rival of Indiana's, which I think will be a lot of fun. I mean, Indiana and UCLA in basketball, men's soccer, kind of the list goes on from there. I think that'll be great. And then in talking to the coaches that I oversee, you know, Jeff Mercer says this makes, you know, the Big Ten a much better viable baseball conference and maybe have more power at the table when discussing matters of college baseball across the country, because you're adding two of the greatest programs in the history of the sport. I'm talking to, our swimming and diving coaches. One, it can open up recruiting in that area of the country, and it's also great competition that'll be joining the Big Ten to compete against them. You know, water polo.
See, I told you. That's what they said. Hey, we told you.
Yeah, a lot of Big Ten teams now all of a sudden in water polo, so that helps out. So it goes kind of on and on that way. And then tennis, you know, one of my sports views it as a challenge. Yes, the alma mater of Arthur Ashe and Jimmy Connors is coming to the Big Ten, but it should help in recruiting. So we're really excited about it.
In your personal opinion, this can't be done, right? We're just not going to stop now. There's too many fragments and pieces laying around. Why wouldn't Stanford and Cal work out in the Big Ten or Notre Dame or anything else like that? Do you think that's the next great hurdle, or is it just wait and see? And you want to have a seat at the table before the music stops.
The one thing that is for certain is that this stuff is ever changing, and it's changing in significant and large ways rapidly. It was like 1956 or something like that they added Michigan State. Nothing really changed till 1991. And then 1991, nothing really changed till they added Nebraska about 20 years later. And now there's teams ranging from New Jersey to Southern California. So these things do change. I don't know if it's done or is going to keep going. Frankly, that's above my pay grade. I'll just help write the press release.
There we go. Sit back and enjoy the wave, because it's not a very quiet summer. That's for sure. Hey, come back and visit us before school starts so we can figure out football and what's going on with that. And we'll get everybody to pack Memorial Stadium all season long. Don't sweat too much, my friend, but thanks for making the time this afternoon. It's greatly appreciated.
Hey, call anytime.